I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Farrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything.
All right, Farrell on the bench with Carver High tonight. I want to get your reaction to a couple things, Carver High. First of all, Auburn struggles tonight at Missouri, a terrible team, Missouri. And so they beat them 55-54, and they came back to do it. And I'll give you that. Nice job. Congratulations. You beat a crappy team. I mean, let's face facts. Missouri is 8-11. They're god-awful. And Auburn had to rally, And I have to tell you, you're the number one team in the country. You win by one on the road at a team that's 8-11. That's not impressive to me. So this is my question. I said on the show last night, I had Jerry Palm on from CBS. You know, he's their, basically their bracketologist. And I said, Jerry, do you believe, because I think Auburn, when they play down in Alabama at home at Auburn Arena, they are absolutely just Sid Vicious, unbeatable. I mean, you go into that den of iniquity, you're going to lose. I mean, Kentucky found out the hard way. They are legit. They are no joke. They are nasty. They Kessler's a freak. Tonight he had 13-12 in that win, and he's 5-10. All of his shots are dunks and layups. Everything's at the rim. He's a great player for a white boy, 7'1", 250. And I said, Jerry, is Auburn good enough to win in a neutral zone or like a neutral site arena in a region, nowhere near Alabama? In other words,
right.
Let's say the game was in Greensboro or if it was in Indianapolis or wherever the hell, let's say Boise or wherever the hell it is. You know, they're number one. They're going to get a great seed. Right. They're going to play, you know, I would think somewhere right there south. Right. Carver High.
Yeah.
But my question is, I asked him, I said, can they win in a gym that isn't their own? I mean, because I'm not convinced that they're that great. I just know they're unbeatable at home. And I mean, I was like, do you really believe in them like somewhere else? And then literally a day later and a dollar short, they can barely beat Missouri in Columbia with a team that absolutely stinks. My team, the Farrell Ballers, could beat Missouri. And I mean it.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think that they're a very good team, but not only where they go, but who they match up with, I think could be a problem with them when we get to tournament time. Like, I could see one of these tough-ass Big 12 teams getting super physical with them and roughing them up in a tournament game, whether it be a second round, Sweet 16 game, whatever it is. I could see like a Michigan State or a Wisconsin, you know, taking them down in a round like that as well. So they're a very good team, but as always, the draw is what matters to you. Now, let's say they were the number one seed in the South region this year, Scotty. The Sweet 16 Elite Eight is in San Antonio this year for the South region, it looks like. San Antonio. That's where they would be.
Okay, so I said to him, same thing. When they go somewhere, are they going to be able to win there? And now I'm going to throw this at you. So I think the tournament committee will put in that region teams that we welcome our radio affiliate, SiriusXM, Mightier 1090, ESPN Radio in San Diego, as Sports Map, Sports Byline, Armed Forces Radio. It's for all events on a Tuesday night. So I say that they will, the committee will put in that region teams that have someone, I believe, that will be able to match up with Kessler in the paint. They're going to put a big, strong, physical, big, at least two of them, in that region so that that's not some kind of cakewalk for them to the Final Four. They're going to have to face somebody, like you said, a Michigan State that's physical enough that can bang with them. Because really, to me, they're a very fast, athletic team, small team, that has a 7'1", 250-pound monster that plays in the middle. Now, look, a lot of people would say that Cockburn, this guy for Illinois, is better than everybody else. And I said to Jerry last night, I don't think so. I really don't believe in his game at all. I just think he stepped on some people's throats, and he's just a monster. He's like he looks like Dwayne Johnson. It looks like The Rock playing basketball. Like, the guy is ripped out of his skull. He's gigantic. He looks like he's just juiced his face off. He's enormous. He looks like a bodybuilder. He's not even human. He's like this enormous monster. He's like an animated monster in a movie, right? But I don't. He's got no jumper. He's got no mid-range game. He got none of that. All he does is get the ball and dunk. That's all he does. So I'm like, this kid Kessler is blocking shots, getting rebounds, alley-oop dunks, finishes. He goes to the tin. He can play for a white boy. That guy can play flat out. And they got to put somebody in that region, Mike, that can bang with him, like Cockburn. Put him in there. Put someone in there that can physically dance with that big fella, because if they don't, then they're going to the Final Four.
I don't disagree with you. I think that they will get a very tough matchup as a two. Like, if, let's say, Kansas doesn't win the Big 12, I could see them being a two in Auburn's region, something like that.
Yeah, they got to put a great team in there, at least two of them, to make it hard. All right, we're going to talk more. There's other teams tonight that had amazing games on the bench. So how about Mississippi State just took Kentucky to overtime at Rupp Arena, just like Texas Tech took Kansas to overtime, double overtime last night at Fog Allen. Where in the first overtime, Kansas got the home cooking calls. And then in the second overtime, the refs actually did a good job, which I almost fell over, that they actually ironed out their crappy calls and made the second overtime all about basketball and about guys making plays instead of calls. I mean, they had like they had so many calls in the first overtime, I was losing my mind. Goaltending twice in a row on both ends. I mean, it was just ridiculous. But then eventually they did a good job in the second overtime, so I'll give them credit. I know that Arizona and UCLA, I think, are underway, and that'll be on next. And that should be a wild game at Pauly. Not going to be easy for Arizona to win there, but I think they're I do think they're better than UCLA. We'll see if they can do it tonight. Every time you go on the road in these gigantic conference games, it's a nightmare. I don't care who you are. Ask Auburn tonight, playing that crappy Missouri team, and they can barely beat them by one. So Arizona by two, I have my druthers if they can do it. I did take them. I did bet on them, but we'll see. All right, Carver High, one of my favorite bets tonight was Michigan State getting the 5.5, as you know, against Illinois. I had Illinois to win and Michigan State to cover, and that happened 55-54 or 56-55. It was a one-point win, Illinois 56-55. And, you know, Michigan State was down big in that game, you know, double figures. What did you think of their comeback? And they actually got the last shot off and a foul. The kid went to the line to tie the game, and he missed the first free throw, and they lost. That's why they lost. He made the second one. He should have missed the second one, and they should have gone after a rim racker like, you know, just absolutely miss the second one, throw it at the rim, and let everyone crash the iron and see if they can throw one down with all the size they have. And, of course, you know, and Cockburn didn't play in the game. And I told you, if he doesn't play, Michigan State will cover. And that's exactly what happened. I had the Duke win and the Clemson cover, 71-69 Duke. Duke's ranked 9th in the country. Do you think they're for real? I mean, isn't it funny how they don't matter like they used to, in my opinion. They still get the publicity like they matter. They still get all the players. They got two of the top 5 McDonald's All-Americans are going to Duke next year. And it just never ends. So Shire's going to start with 2 of the best players in America in his first class that he coaches. And he's already loaded with guys that are going to the NBA. And I'm not sure they should be going to the NBA that soon.
I don't disagree.
Pablo Ranchero guy should be going pro right now.
No, I don't. I think he's a very, very
Everybody
good player.
Everybody else thinks he should. I don't.
But he should not. I don't think that he should go running. But that's what they all do now. They're all going to run to the NBA because somebody's going to tell them they're going to be a top 10 pick, top 5 pick, and that's the way that it goes. He could probably be best served, like a lot of these other guys, playing an extra year. And we've discussed this at length. I'm very interested to see Duke basketball after Coach K is gone, with this guy Schreier being the coach. Very interested.
What a nice job that's got to be.
How's it going for Hubert Davis at North Carolina? How's that going?
He doesn't matter.
No.
I mean, he doesn't matter at all. In fact, I think they have a big game tomorrow night with BC at the Dean Dome. Baylor smoked Kansas State tonight, 74-49. I didn't see that coming. The one game I did give you today as well that I said UConn would have sex with Georgetown. I did. I said it'd be a porno. 96-73. That was easy money. And Arizona leads 14-12 right now at UCLA at Pauley. And Villanova blew out DePaul, by the way. 22 straight times they beat DePaul. I didn't know it was that bad. I wouldn't have been stupid with the bet. I took the 18 or whatever. And it wasn't enough. They got ripped. And that's all there is to it. Now, those were top 25 games. I want to look at the rest of the games because there's a lot of money out there to be made. I took Colorado in 7.5. They're down 6 right now, early in the second half at Oregon. I actually, you know, I took Colorado 7.5. I thought the game was in Boulder, to be honest with you, perfectly honest. But it's at Oregon. I did take Oregon to win and Colorado to cover. I have my doubts now about Colorado covering that number in Eugene. I gave you Georgia today and said the reason I'm taking this terrible Georgia team is because Alabama's playing crappy right now. They're not playing good ball. And sure enough, Georgia beat them in Athens. And I told you, if Tom Crean doesn't start winning, he's going to get fired. And they won 82-76 over the Tide. How about this one? Pitt beat Syracuse tonight in the Peterson in Pittsburgh, 64-53. That's humiliating, in my opinion, for Syracuse with as bad as Pitt is these days.
Look, I think that it's time to the people at Syracuse. It's time to admit it. I know they don't want to. It's time to get the old man out of there. It just is.
And you know what it's turned into? I mean, does his wife and his uncle play for him too?
Yeah,
he's got all his kids playing for him.
Yeah,
the whole team's Boeheim.
There's not
lost his mind, that guy.
I was talking to a big Syracuse fan tonight, a buddy of mine, and I kind of gave him the business. Jeez, getting racked by Pitt. Pitt stinks. He says the team just isn't not athletic. There's no athleticism on the team. There just isn't. He's just got a bunch of, you know, kids that kind of just stand and shoot. They don't have any good players. It's time for him to go.
He's got those crappy little guards, those little white boy guards that play for him. Right. And I'll tell you who they are, too. And I'm bored to death watching him play. And it's Gerard III, right? is the one. And he's really the one. They play him. They play him through the nose. But like, look at Boeheim. His one son had 25. The other one had 8. I'm surprised Jim doesn't play too. I mean, the way he's got the whole family going. I gave you Rhode Island. They lost. Richmond beat them. The Spiders beat them 70-63. I hit Fordham and Dayton both ways. Dayton to win, but I had Fordham with, you know, whatever. I know I had him with a bunch of points, right? You remember I did this on the show today.
Yes, you did.
I was getting 13.5. I gave you Iona minus 16.5. They covered against Siena. I gave you Temple outright. Getting 2.5 to beat Cincinnati. They did. They beat them by 3. I give you Toledo minus 5.5. They covered 86-75 over Buffalo. I gave you Loyola. They were laying 12.5. I lost by the hook. Drag. I lost Rutgers. I lost TCU. I hit Colorado State. They covered and beat Nevada 77-66. I lost Fresno by the hook as well. 2 hook losses tonight. They won by 5. New Mexico covered by the hook. Drag. It's Pharrell on the bench. All right, so this Kentucky game's kind of gotten out of hand in overtime, and Kentucky's up 8, and there's 28 seconds left. And I was just saying to Carver High, I really do respect Calipari and the way he coaches, the way he communicates with these kids, and I'm talking about the whole game. And this is going to end this game at 8, and the number was 9. What could be worse? And the guy missed the free throw. Oh, God, but it would have pushed either way. I think Ben Howland's doing a good job at Mississippi State. I do like the way Calipari coaches. I think he's actually, believe it or not, respectful of his opponents, the other coaches. I think he handles himself, believe it or not, like, you know, differently than he used to. In other words, you know, back in the day when he was getting in fights with coaches when he was young, John Chaney, for instance, those days are long gone. I think he's, you know, grown up. He's old now. He's got his act together. I think he communicates with his kids the entire game. He's constantly coaching. If you ever go see him coach live, he never sits down. He just coaches the whole game. He goes crazy. Screaming instructions and coaching. And I think he's frankly a blast to watch, you know, coach. Win or lose, he's just deeply involved in his gig. And I think that he has a position of massive power in college basketball, running Kentucky basketball. Don't you think, Carver High?
I agree. He's been one of the titans of college hoops for a long time. I remember after they lost last year or had that miserable year last year, we were saying it has been a little while for Cal. It has been a bit. I know he's kind of lost. His teams hasn't had really time to gel the last few years. And with the COVID breaking up the year, guys being in and out, it's been a while since he's had a deep little run in the tournament. He could use one this year.
Yeah, I think he's got a good team. I mean, I saw him lose to Auburn down there, but I think everyone that goes there is going to lose. And then now they've moved to this Arizona-UCLA game at Pauley Pavilion. Unless I'm crazy, like I'm noticing, like, you know, maybe it's, I don't even know what their ordinances are and the mandates are in California nowadays.
Oh, they got,
we're
yeah.
Going out there to do the Super Bowl. They're all wearing masks.
Well,
the whole crowd.
This is the first game where they actually let people back in the building. The last few home games, they had nobody in there.
Really?
Yeah.
So it was empty?
Yeah, I remember watching. Who were they playing a week or two ago? I forget which game it was, but there was nobody in the seats a couple weeks ago. I forget who the opponent was.
Wow. I didn't know that. I guess I didn't know that. I mean, in terms of, I didn't see that. You know what I mean? So I'm trying to, you know, pull up, because I told you I was having problems earlier with my system here. But this game's 19-16 UCLA early. But I was just going to say the last few games, they played Colorado, they played Utah. It was maybe the Oregon State game. They blew them out.
Yeah. No, the I think it's the Oregon game. Oregon game. Thursday night Oregon game.
It was the overtime game against Oregon.
Yes.
Where they lost 84-81. Yep.
There was nobody in the stands that night. There was nobody there that night. I remember that game.
Wow. So Juzang hits a big shot, and they're up six. He's already got 11 in this game, and he's 3 of 3 from downtown. So like I said earlier, it is not easy going on the road in the Pac-12 or any other big conference, the SEC, Big Ten, ACC. You go on the road, it's the kiss of death. I mean, it really is truly unbelievable. And I think, you know, I'm going to say it, more so in college basketball than college football, Carver High. Would you agree with that?
It's hard because it's so different. You're playing so many more road games and you're playing multiple times a week. I think it's probably still a little tougher because the games mean so much more because there's so few of them in college football. But there are some gyms in college hoops. Man, you're right. It's very, very difficult to walk into them. Very difficult.
To go in and win on the road in conference play in basketball, I think is brutal. But, you know, I believe that the better, frankly, in college football, the better team can handle their business on the road. If you're a good team, you just go do it.
Right.
And it is what it is. It's not easy, but I think it's doable in college football more than college basketball. For me, every night, it's just every night, craziness happens in college basketball when you have good teams going on the road into other barns to take on these teams. It doesn't matter. Like, you know, tonight, perfect example. I already said it, you know, 15 times. Missouri's had no business playing Auburn tonight down to 1 point. They have no business in being in that game. You play on the road, you go to Columbia, you think you got it all figured out. Next thing you know, you're down the whole game. You come back to win by one. I mean, it's a miracle they even won, because all these teams do is go on the road and lose. And, that's what makes that tournament so crazy, the NCAA tournament, because not so much a conference tournament, because in the conference tournament, they have it at one location, and they go play, like, whatever, the Big Ten in Chicago, and everybody knows where they're playing, right? But when they go into the NCAA tournament, and you go to these regionals, and you know what I mean? You go to these sites, and it's some neutral site. All hell breaks loose. You know what I mean? It's just the craziest things happen in the NCAA tournament in neutral site gyms where you have no business having any kind of an edge at all. There's a full house there, and they may or may not be rooting for you. It's just a hostile, nasty, tough, grinding experience where you have to find a way to win. And I got to tell you, I'm not so sure. I'm not convinced that the conference season and all your road games does really anything to help you, because it's like every time you're in some place that's not your home, it's like your worst nightmare, in my opinion. I've never seen anything like it. Going on the road is the kiss of death for every major team in college basketball. And I'm not talking about candy-ass teams that don't matter. Like, I used to do, literally, on, like, PharrellOnTheBench.com, every game, every night, right? I literally put a bet down on, I'd literally do, you know, put a pick on every game in college basketball. I just don't do that anymore. I mean, those days are over. They're so over. I mean, when I'm doing the games now, I skip over. I'll skip 15 games at a time because they're just small, dinky, hack-ass, you know, Hamtramck tech, little sisters that are poor. You know, I don't care. If you're not a heavy, I'm not interested. If you're not a name, a power, name even, like, you could even be like, you know, obviously, Missouri's playing Auburn. You're going to put that pick on the board because it's the number one team in the country. But, like, you know, there's a lot of nights where I'll put Toledo up because they're good and they make me money, but I won't put up one other MAC game. They all suck.
Yeah. They just especially
don't
on
they don't
on
matter Saturdays, at all. If you don't matter, I'm not betting on you.
And Saturdays and Sundays, you got like 100+ games on Saturday and Sundays. Like, it's impossible.
And I just don't care. I don't care about your hack ass games.
It's like Incarnate today, Word,
like, right? Like you said today, like the CAA added all these teams like Stony Brook, Monmouth, whatever. Yeah. They got Hofstra in there and all the rest. And I'm like, you know, the only reason we mention that is because we live here in New York City, and that they're near here, right? And Long Island and all that. And other than that, there isn't a person on the face of the earth that cares about any of those schools.
No.
No one anywhere else gives a rat's ass about any of them, including the conference or any of the teams in it. And that's a fact.
The only time you pay attention to them is when we get to that conference tournament week, and we all bet on it like we've watched them all year. It's great. You know, you watch them in these conference tournaments. It's a lot of fun. I love watching the CAA tournament. I love watching the MAC tournament. I love those tournaments.
Fair enough.
The NEC, they're fun, but you can't watch it all year long. You just can't.
Bobby Moe?
Bobby Moe. Bobby Moe.
Bobby Moe. Did you see your boy Jimmy Vaccaro put $220,000 on the Niners?
Did he really?
Yeah.
Wow. A lot of Niner love. A lot of Niner love.
His brother Sonny, Pittsburgh guys. Well, you could call him a Pittsburgh guy all you want, but he's a Vegas guy. Jimmy's been in Vegas forever. Yeah. But he put 220 large on the Niners. You think the Rams are going to beat them?
Yes. I'm on the Rams.
And what makes you convinced of the Rams with their glorious record against the Niners?
Well, a couple of reasons. We'll jump into it when we come back. But there's a few things that I really like about the Rams in this game.
All right, we'll talk about that when we come back on the bench. My God. I mean, honestly, Carver High, did you see the comeback by the Clippers tonight? 35. They're down 35 points to the you're down 35 points and to the Wizards, and they beat them. They came back. Kennard hit a buzzer beater to beat them. How in God's name do you lose a 35-point lead? I don't care. There is no way that happened.
Absolutely ridiculous. This is the third week in a row. The Clippers have had some ridiculous comeback, and one's been bigger than the next, and it doesn't get any bigger than 35 points. I mean, that is insane. I saw the Wizards were the second team in the last 20 years to lose a game when they were up 7+ with under 20 seconds to go. Coming into the day, teams were 16,239-1 over the last 20 seasons when leading by 7+ points with under 20 seconds remaining. The Wizards made it a second loss tonight. Oh my God. What a disaster.
How do you
Sixers,
I had the Wizards
right.
-5. I had a -5.5. And I told you that was the only game I was betting on as a favorite tonight. And they're up 35 and they blow that. That's crazy. That is so sickening. It makes me, I may not sleep tonight.
So here you go. January 11th, the Clippers erase a 25-point deficit to beat the Nuggets 87-85. January 21st, the Clippers erase a 24-point second-half deficit to win in Philadelphia against the Sixers 102-100. And then tonight in D.C., they erase a 35-point deficit to beat the Wizards 116-115. The Clippers have obviously not had a great year. They're 500. Paul George probably going to have surgery. No Kawhi. They've got three enormous comebacks in the last 20 days. I mean, that's crazy. That is crazy.
And then that is crazy. How about your boy the Joker tonight? Only player in NBA history to record 5,000 rebounds, 3,000 assists in his first 500 career games.
Wow.
That's crazy what that guy's done. It really is. And, I mean, but, you know, you go back to the Clipper game. The reaction of the fans at that game was just epic. Like, there's some guy, some kid was there filming it, and he's like, I don't even care if I'm filming it illegally. I'm going to film this because I just saw him come back from 35 down. If this guy makes this shot, he's like, there is no way that this guy, there's no way they're making this shot to beat the Wizards. I got to film this because there's no way this is happening. And then it happened, and the guy literally almost cabled in his pants. I mean, it was unbelievable. And then explain to me how Brown and Tatum combined for 66 points in a 54-point blowout. How did the Sacramento Kings scored 75 points tonight? You know what should happen there? I have to tell you, I think he should not be paid tonight. They should not be paid for that performance. When you score 75 points in an NBA game, if you don't hit at least 85 points, which is terrible in itself. If you don't hit 90, you suck. But if you have 75 points in an NBA game, you don't deserve to be paid. I don't care what anybody says.
That's an unbelievable job. You lose by 50 on the road. I mean, 50. How awful are the Kings, by the way? Like, they haven't made the playoffs since, God, look at how far I got to scroll back. The 05-06 season. I mean, that is just embarrassing. In today's day and age, where everybody makes the playoffs, they haven't made the playoffs since 2005. Oh, I don't know how you fix that either. Like, they get great picks every year. They pick in the top 10 every year. DeAndre Fox is a great player. Remember when they drafted Boogie? Boogie was a great player. They could never win. Never win.
You see your boy Harden tonight was saying he's frustrated because he just wants to win. And apparently they don't win enough for him.
We'll hear Harden on Coast to Coast tomorrow. He did have a lot to say. And you could tell, I think Kyrie thing bothers the hell out of him. Because you look at a night like tonight, and he's basically out there trying to do it all himself, which I think he also likes, Scotty. I think he's playing the victim. He likes when he can take control of the entire game. And he doesn't have a Durant out there or a Kyrie out there that he has to share the spotlight with. I do think there's a little bit of that in Harden, but I think he's a little annoyed that on a night like tonight where they lose to the Lakers, he's the only one who has to sit up there and answer the questions while Kyrie's at home, doing whatever the hell he's doing on the home games.
You know, the Mavericks are bending over tonight at Chase.
They sure are.
And the Warriors are absolutely doing them. But they're up 19 after three. All right, so give me the reasons that you're on the Rams.
Well, first of all, this is a little cliched, as we know.
Give me the reasons why you're going to lose your money this weekend.
The first one is it's a cliched for the last however many years, 50 years of the NFL. It's very hard to beat a team three times. Okay, in the same season.
Really? The last 22 times it's happened, 14 of them went on to do it.
Okay, so 14 out of... Okay, that's a good number. I think that the Niners, who have been playing playoff games week after week after week after week after week, I think that they left that game with the Packers on Saturday night a little bit more banged up than they have been. I didn't like that Debo was kind of walking off with the limp afterwards. He took that hard hit. Garoppolo doesn't look great. I just feel like the Rams are going to get them on Sunday. Games at home at SoFi. And I like the, even though the Rams have choked some leads the last few weeks, I like the way they're playing offensively right now. They're scoring points. I know that they're yakking up leads, but they are scoring points. I think they beat them.
Do you think that doesn't bother you at all that they beat them six straight times?
It bothers me. I'm not going to lie.
Three, of course they beat them six.
It does bother me. Shanahan beats McVay every time. It does bother me.
I mean, it's got to bother you because, listen, people are like, you can't beat a team three times. I'm like, okay, well, what about six times? Now they're going for seven. Dirty sevens. I mean, honestly, don't roll that seven. Craps.
I was saying this to you earlier. Like, it still boggles my mind that Shanahan just sits there and talks. Well, yeah, we know Jimmy's not going to be back next year. Like, they're so out front and open about the fact that they're throwing Garoppolo away after this season, and he's going to, if he wins on Sunday, make the Super Bowl two of the last 3 years. They're just, he's out. He's not. He's done. He's out of here.
Do you think the Steelers have the onions to call them up right now and say we want him? What are you waiting for?
Yeah, look.
Like, he's young. I still think that guy's got, you know, many.
He's still got some game. Yeah.
Frankly, I think he's got many years of football in him.
Now, I think that there are times that he can hurt you, but I also think that the reason why sometimes his numbers are a little low is because Shanahan is very cautious with how he uses him, and he likes to use that power run game. I think that Garoppolo could still play in the league, yes. I wouldn't mind seeing him go to Pittsburgh.
For how many years? 6 years?
What is he now, Jimmy G? He'd look really quick.
I don't know. How old is he?
I'm checking
He
right.
Can't be any more than 34, 35. He can't be 34.
He's 30.
He's 30.
He's 30.
I mean, that's staggering. I thought he was at least 32, 33.
And he didn't play a snap his first, what, 3 or 4 years in the league because he was Brady's backup?
Yeah.
So, I mean, he doesn't have a lot of games under his belt in terms of for a normal 30-year-old quarterback. I wouldn't mind making a move for him if I was Pittsburgh.
What? By the way, Colorado is up 6 on Oregon with 2.5 minutes left in Eugene.
Tad Boyle.
I was all over to Colorado, 7.5.
Tad Boyle.
I just threw that out there. Let me ask you this question. Do you think I'm insane that I'm on the Bengals?
I don't think insane is where I would go. See, you think, and you were saying this today, you think they're going to win the game outright, like they did in Cincinnati a couple weeks ago. You think they're going to beat them straight up. I don't think it's insane because they did just beat them 3 weeks ago. They just beat them. So it isn't insane. I'm not on that side. I think the Chiefs are going to whack them. Unfortunately, I think they're gonna
whack them.
I think they're gonna whack them.
Hammer them.
Yeah, the Chiefs are one of the best teams. With when something happens to them once, they usually don't let it happen to them again. And they had a 11-point or 12-point, 13-point lead, whatever it was at the half in Cincinnati in that game. They let them come back in the second half, and they got very lax. I don't think that will happen again.
But didn't you think their defense sucks? And that their defense sucked against your Bills, and their defense sucked against the Bengals, and it's just like every game they play, their defense is just so average. I mean, the whole season their defense has been average, except for about 3 or 4 games. I think their defense is average, and I think that Burrow's going to light them up.
Yeah, I think that Burrow could have a big game. But I
like the over better than I like picking them to win.
Yeah. I think the over's a play. The Chiefs are so hard to stop. And I think that Mahomes and Reed, they kind of have it in their sights right now. Like, we can get our second one. You know, we knocked out the Bills. We got to get through this kid on Sunday. No Brady, no Rodgers on the other side this year. We're going to have to beat either, you know, the Niners or the Rams in the Super Bowl. I think that they have this thing in their sights, and they're not going to take their foot off the gas.
What do you think of the Pharrell return to the ball?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about that. I think that that's a very, very dicey situation.
Ooh.
That's. I was going to say that to you today on Coast to Coast. I think
you're concerned
that
about my the return of my sack infection.
Yeah, I think that you might be pushing it too fast. I think that it's not enough. Not enough time has gone by. You might be going back out too soon.
I went to the gym 2 days in a row, and I shot for half an hour, and I ran. Suicides up and down the court, full length NBA court, and I didn't have any problems. I did it, and I had, you know, I did it Monday. I did half court suicides. Today I did full court suicides and had no problems at all to speak of.
I know.
Woke up Tuesday with no problem, or I woke up, you know, I went Monday and woke up. Whatever. I went. I think Sunday or what did I do? I went Monday and Tuesday. I went 2 days in a row. So I went. I woke up today with no problem after doing it, and then I did it again today and ran full court suicides. And I have a feeling, to be honest with you, tomorrow I'm gonna wake up with no problems, and then tomorrow night I am playing, and I'm hoping to score somewhere in the neighborhood of 50. The Canucks are up on the Oilers 2-0 early in the third in Vancouver. The Oilers suck.
Yes.
The Predators are up on the Smoke Kraken in Seattle 3-2 early in the third. And the Panthers ended up beating the Jets 5-3. We already gave you all the other hockey games. The Mavericks are getting whacked. Porzingis just got kicked out of the game, second tech. Warriors 113-82. It's ugly at Chase. And then the Blazers are up 1 on the T-Wolves with 9 minutes left in the Moda in Rip City College Rack. You got two games still lingering. Colorado by 5 over Oregon and Eugene with 47 seconds left. And at the half, Arizona down 11 to UCLA at Pauley Pavilion. So I just sneezed, Garver High, and my entire head now is just filled with the Niagara Falls. And so jeez. I'm sure now I'll have COVID by tomorrow, and I will be unable to play in the Ballers game after the sneeze I just had. I must have COVID for the second time because I have action going right now. Like, you have no idea. Like, I just did an eight ball. I mean, it is just all flowing out of me now. Like, it might just be the River Kwai that's happening to me. I can't control it.
Might be better than you going out there and getting hurt again tomorrow night.
Let's hope that for the sake of my onions, that I don't get hurt tomorrow night against the Ballers. I will see you tomorrow at 4 o'clock Eastern on Coast to Coast on Sports Grid TV. For Carver High, I'm Pharrell from New York. Good night.